All right, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Mentioning before the break, the Mormon, Osmond's Mormon statement of faith. I won't read the whole thing. It's pretty lengthy, but I'll just read the first part here. We as Mormons believe that man is an eternal being, an individual of spiritual substance. We believe that we lived before coming to this earth and that in that pre-mortal state, we developed many of the attributes or qualities that our spirits now possess. You know, again, this idea of, it's like reincarnation. It's really bizarre, really twisted stuff. But that ultimately, you know, they progress to godhood. I mean, it's amazing. This is called a branch of Christianity. I mean, how could that be called anything even remotely resembling Christianity? That we're advancing to godhood. You know, Christ is an example of someone who achieved that. You know, he's already advanced. He whipped up the ladder quick. You know, he got to the higher degrees, apparently by wearing sacred underwear and swearing secret blood oaths and doing the secret handshake, I guess. Oh, what a bunch of screwballs. Anyway, where does all this foolishness come from? Of course, Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith alone, once again, high-ranking Mason that he was, he incorporated this into his cult. In contrast to this, it's significant to point out that the first great lie that the serpent told Eve in Eden was that your eyes will be open, you will be like gods. You know, it's almost as though they're you know, teaching this doctrine in conformity to what the serpent had told Eve. Why, you may ask, do Mormons not remember their pre-mortal existence? You know, if they lived before this world, why don't they remember it? Well, they get an answer for that. Mormon Orson Pratt had this to say. When all these spirits were sent forth from the eternal worlds, they were, no doubt, not infants, but when they entered the infant tabernacle or body, they were under the necessity, the same as our Lord and Savior, of being compressed or diminished in size so that their spirits could be enclosed in infant tabernacles. He's arguing here that as adults, adult spirits, that is, when they became born into human flesh, they entered the baby's body in the womb, and so their spirits became compressed, I guess up in heaven or wherever the pre-birth state is. They have these giant compressor machines, 50-ton compressors, I hear. And so the spirit or the soul goes into the compressor, they turn a little crank, and presto, now you're compacted down, so that you'll fit inside the little baby. But in the process, the compression chamber causes you to lose your memory. or so they've been told, I guess. Oh, man, this is unbelievable. This is what they teach, guys. Because your soul was compressed small enough to fit into a baby, you lose your memory of your former existence. Well, you know, I guess the solution to that, then, is to go into a decompression chamber. Hey, you Mormons, listen out there. Go to a decompression chamber, check out your local Navy base, become depressurized, and maybe you'll regain those pre-birth memories you had, you know? Sounds like something to check out there. You Mormons, I guess, doesn't apply because you haven't been progressing. You've been naughty. You haven't converted to Mormonism yet. So get straight, become a Mormon, and then maybe presto, maybe you will have memories. Even though you didn't have a pre-existence because you weren't Mormons before, maybe you'll develop a pre-existence, hit a time warp or something, and suddenly you'll have a pre-existence because now you're a Mormon. Oh, you know, I wonder how they answer that if you become a Mormon, you know. Did you have a pre-existence before that, even though you weren't a Mormon? Oh, the questions that arise. Anyway, stick with us, guys. Short break. We'll be right back.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up at 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Continuing our discussion here on Mormonism. So, you know, how do Mormons believe this stuff? Well, Joseph Smith told us, he said, "Behold, I say unto you that you must study it out in your own mind. Then you must ask me if it is right. And if it is right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you, therefore you shall feel that it is right." Well, hey, there we go. How about it, guys? Is your bosom burning? As stated, guys, all of this is pure paganism, and prominent Mormons have actually admitted this. Milton R. Hunter, for instance, in his book The Gospel Through the Ages, had this to say: "Mormon prophets have continuously taught the sublime truth that God, the Eternal Father, was once a mortal man who passed through a school of earth similar to that through which we are now passing. He became God, an exalted being, through obedience to the same eternal gospel truths that we are given opportunity today to obey. The mystery religions, pagan rivals of Christianity, taught emphatically the doctrine that men may become gods." He's admitting here that paganism taught this, and now Mormonism is teaching it. Hermes declared, and by the way, Hermes is big in masonry. As you climb to the higher degrees, you discover that. That's where it comes from. Hermes declared, we must not shrink from saying that a man on earth is a mortal god and that God in heaven is a mortal man. This thought very closely resembles the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith and of LDS Church President Lorenzo Snow. So this is a prominent Mormon admitting here that this doctrine of progressing to godhood is in fact a pagan idea, can be traced back to Hermes. It's a Masonic idea, and he's boasting about it. It's unreal. I mean, they do this right in your face. Oh, but it goes on. It gets even more strange. Mormonism teaches that the fall of Adam was a fall up, not down. That it was an advancement, not here's what it said. According to the Bible, understand, you know, Adam's fall was, of course, a fall down, a fall into sin. But here's what Brigham Young said on June 8th, 1873, while preaching from the pulpit of the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City. He said, the devil told the truth. I do not blame Mother Eve. I would not have had her miss eating the forbidden fruit for anything in the world. They must pass through the same ordeals as the gods, that they may know good from evil. Let me repeat. Here's Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church, saying, the devil told the truth. I do not blame Mother Eve for eating the apple. Unbelievable. Joseph Fielding Smith, 10th president of the LDS Church, or maybe I should call it LSD Church, confirmed this belief by stating, quote, the fall of man came as a blessing in disguise. I never speak of the part Eve played in this fall as a sin, nor do I accuse Adam of a sin. We can hardly look upon anything resulting in such benefits as being a sin. So here you go, guys. The Bible itself called it a sin. It called it rebellion. And yet here's the Mormon Church saying, far from being a sin, it was a great thing. So, again, whether you're religious or not, it doesn't matter. How anybody can think that this is in league with Christianity or the Bible, it's the absolute antithesis of it, as is Masonry. Unbelievable. This is evil stuff. They said the devil was right. The devil told the truth. Well, obviously God was lying then, right? That's what Masonry teaches, that Adonai or Elohim is evil and that Lucifer is good, the source of light, which is where they get their Illuminati from, by the way. The Illuminated One. They're followers of the Illuminated One. The thousand points of light, as George Daddy Bush Sr. liked to refer to. How about this one, guys? Did you know Mormonism pushes divorce? Yeah. Mormonism teaches that when a married couple joins the church, they must receive a special eternal temple marriage in order to obtain godhood. If only one converts and the spouse refuses to convert, the converted spouse is told that he or she must divorce the unconvertible, or else he or she cannot become a god. So they actually encourage divorce. Smith is actually claimed to be the savior and lord and God, of course, of the church, and he is worshipped. Well, that only makes sense, right? Because they claim that you become a god. Smith is already a god now. So he's worshipped. He literally is worshipped. Let's see here. President Joseph Fielding Smith, not the original Joseph Smith, another one. Joseph Fielding, Fielding Smith admitted this when he said, quote, there is no salvation without accepting Joseph Smith. If Joseph Smith was verily a prophet, and if he told the truth when he said that he stood in the presence of angels sent from the Lord and obtained the keys of authority and the commandment to organize the Church of Jesus Christ once again upon the earth, then this knowledge is of the most vital importance to the entire world. No man can reject that testimony without incurring the most dreadful consequences, for he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So salvation comes through Joseph Smith. He is the Mormon Savior, not Jesus Christ, in spite of the fact that they like to call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Whatever. Along this same line of thought, guys, Brigham Young wrote this insane nonsense. He said, I cannot go there, meaning to heaven, without his, Smith's, consent. He holds the keys to rule in the spirit world, and his rules there, he rules there triumphantly, for he gained full power and a glorious victory over the power of Satan while he was yet in the flesh. Yeah, what, when he hung out in the bars drinking all day? there's a sucker born every second in this cult. Of course, all church presidents, as successors to Smith, are also considered saviors as well. As one president, Heber Kimball, I quoted from earlier, said, quote, the day will yet come when they, the wicked, will come to me and acknowledge me as their savior, and I will redeem them and bring them forth from hell and bring them to where I live and make them my servants, and they will be quite willing to come into my service. Well, gee, you know, if getting out of hell means you got to be a servant, I guess hell might not be such a bad place. But if you're into serving this guy, then I guess there's hope for you even after you go to hell. Oh, God have mercy. How can people believe this? How? Well, I guess if they can believe that 9/11 was done by the Muhammad Atta Flying Circus Brigade, I guess people can believe anything. Uh-oh, I got a caller from Salt Lake City. His name is Jim. Ooh, I think I'm in trouble, guys. Somebody help me. I'm going to be on the hit list now. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Good morning.
Are you a Mormon by any chance?
Yes.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now.
I'll just take a couple of moments, if that's okay.
Sure.
And I don't think that there's time enough for me to approach every issue you have been discussing, but I'll do my best just to touch on a couple of things, okay?
Well, I'm not going to give you too much time because I want to, you know, finish up with this. But, yeah, go ahead.
In the first place, number one, I believe that the posture you're now taking is very critical. And I think taking a critical posture...
For good reason.
You're not open to learn anything. But I will do my best, okay?
Hold it right there. I got to stop you there. Jim, not willing to learn anything? What do you think I got this information? I've been studying up on Mormonism, in fact, all cults, for years on end now. I'm quoting from the horse's mouth, or maybe the horse's behind, I guess you could say.
Well,
this is stuff. Are you denying?
And we can discuss or not. You can hang up or you can.
Have you ever sung this hymn? This is number 147 in the Mormon hymnal. Perhaps you're familiar with this one. It says, praise to the man who communed with Jehovah. This is speaking about Smith here. They praise him in a hymn. Honored and blessed be his ever great name. Great is the glory and endless his priesthood. Earth must atone for the blood of that man. They believe that his blood must be atoned for. Hail to the prophet ascended to heaven, mingling with gods. He can plan for his brethren. Death cannot conquer the hero again. Have you ever sung that hymn, number 147?
I have sung that hymn.
Oh, so you actually worship Joseph Smith?
No, I don't worship Joseph Smith.
Well, you do, because it says praise to the man. You must believe he's a god. Right?
I do not worship Joseph Smith.
Well, you sing praise to the man.
I understand to you how it can appear that way. Let me ask you a question. Okay.
Oh, it only appears that way. So when you bow and go, and, you know...
No, I do not worship Joseph Smith. I only worship Jesus Christ.
But wait a minute now. According to Mormon doctrine, Joseph Smith is a god, right?
Let me ask you a question. Are
you
going to
worship yourself one day when you become a god? I tell you what,
no.
Saved by the Bell. We'll continue with some more of this nonsense and this pathetic attempt to defend this cult when we get back there.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, guys, welcome back to the radio. Go back to our buddy Jim here in Utah, who's going to tell us that Mormonism, in spite of all of these teachings, is a great thing. We should all join tomorrow. Welcome back, Jim.
Are we still there?
Yeah, I'm clear.
Okay. Let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ was married?
Nope.
You don't believe that Jesus was married?
Nope.
So,
where's that in the Bible? Forget your Book of Mormon. Where's that in the Bible?
You also believe that he did not have
children. Where is that correct? In the Bible? I don't care what Joseph Phoney Smith wrote. Where is that in the Bible?
How about Moses?
I asked a question. Where is it?
When he went to the burning bush, and Moses later brought the Sanhedrin, other members of Israel, and he said, Come and meet God. And they said, no, we don't want to meet God. And so they said, Moses, you go. We don't want to go. You go and face that burning bush. We don't want to go face that burning bush. And I believe that man has more divinity in him than we are even aware. So if you plant an apple...
Okay, buddy, where is this in the Bible? You're going by Joseph Smith.
If you plant the seeds of an apple tree, right?
The Bible
does not
teach...
Apple, and plant them in the ground, what kind of tree will grow?
Jim, where do you find in the Bible that we're going to become a god? Where do you find that in the Bible?
I'm explaining.
Forget Joseph Smith.
If you take the seeds from an apple tree, from an apple, and plant them in the ground, what kind of tree will grow?
I asked you where in the Bible, forget your apple seed analogy, where in the Bible do I find that I'm going to become a god? It's not there. You're following a cult, my friend. You're following the writings of a crackpot drunk Mason, 33rd degree Mason,
who
incorporated his satanic beliefs into this false religious system. And if
God,
you listen long enough, you're going to see that the Book of Mormon is crap.
Are we the children of God or not?
We're adopted into his family. We're not born of God in the sense that Christ doesn't have a divine nature. No, we're not. No, we're adopted into his family because we're human.
What kind of posterity do horses have? Horses have.
Hey, look, I'm going to ask you one more time, then I'm going to hang you up because you're wasting my time. Where in the Bible does it say we become gods? I'm still waiting.
Do you remember the Nicene Creed? Do you remember the Nicene gathering where decisions were made as to what?
Okay, one more time. One more time. Is it in the Bible that we become gods? Yes or no? Yes or no question. Is it in the Bible that we become gods? Hello?
Much more truth.
All right, you know what? I'm
going to
cut you off because you're wasting my time.
In the Old and New Testament.
Goodbye. Thank you for calling in. I'm not going to waste my time anymore. You have nothing to say to me of any substance. You won't answer my question. But in fairness to you, you can't answer my question because it's not in the Bible. What a pathetic attempt to try to defend this cult. Anybody else want to try? Give me a call. 800-313-9443. If you've got an answer for me, where in the Bible it states that we become gods, I'll be happy to listen to you, but good luck, because it ain't there, buddy. All you can do is quote Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith, the drunk who died in a barroom brawl. Joseph Smith said, get out of here with your Joseph Smith, okay? And you Ellen Whiters, too. Get out of here with that cultist, for that matter. And you Christian scientists who like Mary Baker Eddy, and you Jehovah Witnesses who like Charles Russell. You're all cultists. You're all following a cult. Get out of the thing. It's lying to you, picking your pockets, and leading you straight to hell. How does that one grab you? Sick of these cults and their lying frauds, their false doctrines, their deceitful, pocket-picking, scam artist religions. Snap out of it, people. You got a brain, use it for a change instead of letting other people use it for you and having you think that you've got to listen to what they say or you're not going to go to heaven. Give me a break. What is wrong with you people? It's like the Bush followers.
Osama did 9/11.
Where's the proof for it?
George Bush said so.
Mindless drones. You got a brain, but you don't even know how to use it anymore. Fools. Anyway, let's go on here. Smith the Blasphemer. This is what our friend Jim here wants you to believe, that Smith is a godly man. He says he doesn't worship him, but he sings praise to the Lord's prophet. That's not worship. No surprise, guys, that Mormonism would praise Joseph Smith, for he claimed to be above Christ. Yeah. This guy claims he worships Christ, but Smith said he's above Christ. So how could he say that he doesn't worship Smith when their own hymns praise this guy? And he, in his own words, claims to have been above Christ. So if he worships Christ and believes the writings of Smith, and Smith says he's above Christ, well, then, you know, maybe he's blaspheming Smith by worshiping Christ, because Smith's supposed to be above Christ. Here's what Smith wrote in the book History of the Church. He is quoted as saying, this is from a Mormon publication, they quote Smith as saying, I have more to boast of than ever any man had. I am the only man that has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. A large majority of the whole have stood behind me. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus himself ever did it. I boast that no man ever did such a work as I. The followers of Jesus ran away from him. But the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me yet. Well, of course not, because they fear that they're going to be killed through their phony doctrine of blood atonement. No wonder Jim's so faithful to Mormonism. All right, guys, we're going to talk about the actual Book of Mormon when we get back. We're going to see what a fraud that is. Hey, call me up if you're a Mormon. I'd like to hear from you. Let's hear if you can defend your phony faith. We'll be right back, guys.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Video. Yeah, some of you might be saying,
"Boy, this guy is really rude."
Well, you know, I have no respect for cults, in case you haven't noticed. I was a victim of one myself in the Seventh-day Adventist cult for years. Years of my life were in that thing. And it darn near ruined me. And I've seen it ruin many other people's lives. And Mormonism and all these other cults are all the same. They'll wreck your life. They'll pick your pocket. They'll rob you blind. They'll have you believing that these people are so sincere that their leaders are led of God. And what they do ultimately is, well, like Christ said to the Pharisees, you know, you seek, you compass land and sea to seek a new proselyte. And then when you find him, you make him twice the child of hell as yourself. And that's what happens. These people actually become the antithesis of godliness. They become evil, hateful, judgmental, finger-pointing wretches. No wonder there's so many atheists out there. Did you know that most atheists are atheists because of the phonies who profess to follow God but are actually following some phony cult? No wonder they don't believe in God. I don't blame them. You know, because they see that how these so-called followers of God act, they don't want any part of it. I don't blame them. It's the professed followers of God that do more harm to the cause of God than those outside. Than those who reject God outright. Let me tell you, the ones who reject God outright have more hope than these phony followers of God who trash his name and teach all kinds of bogus lies in his name. But let's get on to the Book of Mormon here. We're going to talk about some problems that exist, many problems that exist with the Book of Mormon, but let's just deal with misspelled words, for example. If this book is so inspired, why are there so many, you know, ridiculous errors in it? For example, he's got the word journeyed spelled J-O-U-R-N-I-E-D instead of N-E-Y-E-D. Bellowses instead of bellows. Feeding, F-E-A-D instead of F-E-E-D. He's got babblings with one B instead of B-A-B-B. Tempels instead of temples, P-E-L-S instead of P-L-E-S. It looks like the angel Moroni was not a good speller. I guess he didn't go to New Jerusalem University or Heaven, Heaven College. Oh, whatever. How about outright grammatical errors? It were easy to guide them. I were about to write them. The priests was not to depend. They was angry with me. Yeah, this is a real inspired book, all right. There is, save it be, two churches. There is two churches. Save it be. Things which is not seen. Ammon and Lamoni was a journeying. I don't know which is better, the was instead of were or the a journeying. They was a journeying. Oh, come on, folks. Just admit it, will you? Admit it. It's a cult. Some people say, oh, two things we don't ever want to talk about at the dinner table when we have the family over at Thanksgiving is religion and politics. Why? Why? Because it's going to offend? Well, who cares? If they're in a cult and they're being misled and are actually in danger of being lost, why do you care about offending them? If you love them, if you care about them enough, you're going to offend them. So don't continue to be deceived by this cult, whether it be the Bush cult or the Mormon cult or any other cult out there, religious or political or otherwise. Why do you care about offending them? If they're in danger, do you really care about them? Who cares if you're going to offend them? Do what you can to snap them out of it. It's a cult, and that's all there is to it. It's a fraud. There's no defending this phony cult, or any of the other ones for that matter. If you're going to be real, you've got to have to admit that there's problems here. If you're a Mormon and you really do care about truth, don't call me and ignore my questions and try to defend your cult when you're not even answering straightforward questions. Look, if we're going to become gods, give me a passage in the Bible where it teaches that. And of course, he doesn't answer me because there isn't one. But yet he still insists he's right. How in the world can he profess to believe in his cult that it's in harmony with the Bible when the Bible doesn't teach such a thing? That his teaching is actually contrary to the Bible? Oh, boy. But, you know, forget the Bible. Let's just look at common sense. You're going to tell me you believe that it's okay? This is what the Mormon Church teaches. Brigham Young. That it's not only okay, but that you must kill those who leave the Mormon Church to atone for their sin. Here's some more ridiculous statements from the Book of Mormon. Behold, for none of these I cannot hope. For none of these I cannot hope. And Mosiah, nor the people of Mosiah, could not understand. Nor not. Notice, nor not. Over and over and over. Oh, yeah, this is an inspired book. I'm inspired to throw it into the wood-burning stove. Check out this most ridiculous statement. I love this one. This has got to be my most favorite quote from the Book of Mormon, folks. I found this one myself. Fourth Nephi 6. You ready for this one? And thus did the 38th years pass away. Also the 39th and 41st and 42nd. Yea, even until the 49th years had passed away. And also the 52nd year, and even until the 59th years had passed away. Yeah, I feel inspired. Oh, wait, wait a minute. I'm getting that gut feeling in my bosom. Oh, it must be true. Mr. Smith just gave me that feeling. in my bosom there, folks. Oh, wait, it was just an itch. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I thought it was... Oh, I guess it must not be true. I was almost ready to believe the Book of Mormon, thinking I was getting that bosomy kind of feeling, but nope, it was just an itch. Sorry about that. Anyway, fabricated words. The Book of Mormon is filled with this. And by the way, I'm just going over a few examples. There's literally dozens of these. You guys want the transcripts again? TruthHurtsRadio@AOL.com. Hertz is spelled H-E-R-T-Z. I'll be happy to send this wonderful... Oh, wait a minute. I forgot, though. This study I did, according to my last caller, I haven't done my homework. I haven't done any studying, so I don't bother requesting these transcripts. It's not like I did my homework. I haven't studied into this enough. Oh, please. If you want the transcripts, guys, I'll email them to you. Preparator is one of the words Mr. Smith made up. First Nephi 1535, and it still existed in later editions. They took it out of some of the newer editions. Ariven. Numerority. Referring to vast numbers. Numerority. Flatter, as in more flat. Let's see here. No, wait a second. And then he made up his own words. Ezrom, Senine, and Lima, referring to forms of currency. A scimitar, another name for a sword, a scimitar. A knees, a form of plant, N-E-A-S, some species of plant. A sheum, a crop. A descret, which is a bee. And then a curulum, or a cummins, which is an unidentified animal, a cummins. C-U-M-M-O-N, cummin. Yeah, come on is more like it. Guys, more and more errors here. There's problems with changes in context. For example, you got in Helaman 1:16, there is an incomplete sentence that shows the writer of the Book of Mormon to be unfamiliar with proper sentence structure. In an effort to correct this embarrassing problem, two words were removed from the text and a period was put there to make it look like the thought was completed. You know, the later editors had made these changes because they recognized, oops, wait a minute, we can't send that to print. That doesn't make sense. None of the book makes sense. You got quotations in some books. Well, here, I forgot where it is now. I'm going ahead of myself. But there's one passage where there's a quote from a book that was supposedly dated to the 5th century B.C. And they're quoting from the book of Luke, the book of Matthew, you know, direct word-for-word quotes from the New Testament, including punctuation, in books that weren't even written yet until 500 years later. You know what I'm saying? Books that were supposedly written in the B.C. era. Then there's, when he quotes from the King James, sometimes whole chapters at a time. He'll quote entire chapters, and he'll even use the King James English, and he'll use italics, because, of course, the King James translators, whenever they added words that aren't in the original text, they would put them in italics to indicate that they don't belong. He actually used italics words, and he's not even indicating he's quoting. You know, he's just throwing this in there. Come on, guys. It's a cut-and-paste job. The whole thing. Anyway, we've got another caller. We got somebody going by the name of Sparrow from Texas calling in. Welcome to the show, Sparrow.
Hi. Mr. Giuliani, doing a good job there. I just wanted to commend you for it. To expose these type of, you know, false doctrines, and I just wanted to commend you for it.
I appreciate it.
I like
sooner or later, I'll get around to all of them.
Yeah, I've read a little bit on the Mormon too. I had one of those books, and it spoke to me of just a total fabrication, just like a made up story. You know,
How can people buy this? It's scary.
It is.
You know, we pride ourselves in being the most intelligent creatures on the planet, but you know. even if a cat could talk, you couldn't convince a cat to believe this.
Yeah. No, like, what kind of name is Marconi for an angel?
Right. I mean,
but
the
anyway,
whole thing.
I just sure love listening to you.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks
Alrighty,
a lot.
Bye-bye.
By the way, isn't it interesting, you know, the angel's name was Moroni. You know, what would his followers be? Morons or Moronians? Morons. Yeah. I wonder if he came up with that name just to, you know, play a little psychological warfare game with his faithful followers. You're a bunch of morons if you believe I was visited by an angel named Moroni. Come on, people. It's crap. How about fraudulent language used in the Book of Mormon? Alma 3738. Oh, this is the one I was talking about. It dates to, this one is 73 BC. It speaks of the people using a compass. Of course, the compass, guys, was not invented until a long time later. The Chinese appear to have had it. But it certainly wasn't known in the area where this book is supposed to have been written. Anyway. Let me go on here. First Nephi 1825, dated at 589 BC, speaks of horses and asses. Again, these weren't known in the New World at that time. Ether 919 speaks of elephants. Well, actually, that's one thing I might possibly agree with Mormonism on, if you believe in diffusionism, that old world cultures actually were here before Columbus. So I can't necessarily use that against them. But here's one. Surprising as it may seem, no less than six times in the Book of Mormon, the and symbol is employed. You know, like on your computer keyboard there, when you use shift, where is it? I'm looking on my keyboard here. Number 7, you know, it has the and symbol there. That's used in the Book of Mormon. Was that inspired too? You know. In Jacob 7:27, the French word adieu occurs. Adieu, as in sayonara, goodbye. Adieu, I bid you adieu. Now, is, you know, was that inspired too? That word wasn't even in use. give me a break. How did a French word wind up in a supposedly inspired text? Yeah, whatever. Jacob 3:11. And Messiah 29:14, the word faculties appears. Faculties came about in medieval English. What word could have existed in ancient times that could have been translated as faculties? Come on. Second Nephi 29:3, and isn't it convenient that the golden plates that Smith claimed that he received disappeared? So nobody could ever, you know, look at them and gauge their authenticity, how convenient that was. Anyway, the phones are starting to ring off the hook here. We've got Mike from New York. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, this is it's a very interesting topic, Charlie. Of course, the Book of Mormon has nothing to do with the modern-day Mormon religion, just like the Bible or the New Testament has nothing to do with modern-day Christianity. It's attempted to follow, adhere to what they believe the Lord said and taught, but of course, when you study the four Gospels, you realize, boy, it hardly mentions anything of what the Lord said and taught. He did a whole lot more, and if it was all, as the legend says, if it was all recorded in a book, the book would be so large, you'd never be able to even close it. Now, the Book of Mormon.
Hey, here's one for you real quick. Third Nephi 28, verses 4 to 8, speaks of three men who were told by Jesus that they would never die, but would remain on earth alive until the second coming. I guess they're still among us.
Well,
wow, I'd like to meet these guys. Call me in if you're out there. You're still living. What's that, Mike? Sorry.
Well, you see now, Charles, that book is interesting because, you know, in the Gospels, when the Lord, of course, after the Lord resurrected himself, he appeared for at least a year. It wasn't like a one-shot appearance. He was still seen and teaching for at least a year. That's amazing. Now, when he was ready to wrap everything up and leave his disciples for good.
The Bible says 40 days later he ascended. Another contradiction. Oh, don't worry, well, there's plenty of those.
Well, yeah, there's, but nonetheless, there were reports that he was appearing and instructing for at least a year, and then when he was ready to finally wrap up with his disciples, and he instructed them all on their mission to serve him while he was gone. And he directed them all with certain assignments. When he confided to John what his assignment was, some of the disciples were jealous. And the Lord said to him, what matters it to you if I ask John to tarry longer? So now the question is, what does he mean by tarry longer? And so John might have also been blessed to be around for a very long time. And, of course, the Lord had the power to bestow that on anybody he chose. Now, the Book of Mormon, Charles, starts off at the time of Daniel, before Jerusalem's conquered by the Babylonians, right?
Yeah, I tell you what, Mike, we've got to go to a short break.
Okay, sure. I'll hang on. Thanks, Charles.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Radio. Wow, this 12 has really gone by, and I haven't even scratched the surface, believe it or not. There's a lot more to this. Again, if anybody wants the transcripts, just request them at truthhurtsradio@aol.com, spell Hertz, H-E-R-T-Z, and I'll send it off to you in email. You can check this out. It's just unbelievable stuff. I just wanted to mention this real quick before we go back to Mike, and then we got another caller real quick. Hopefully we can get to them. But the word Mormon, you know, there's never been any explanation given for the origin of this word. But it turns out if you consult Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible, he makes reference to a demon called Mormo, whose followers, of course, would be Mormons. And he states that this Mormo demon was known since ancient times. Interestingly enough, too, in Chinese, the word Mormon actually means gates of hell. Could this be where Mr. Smith got his word Mormon from? Quite possibly. Anyway, go ahead, Mike.
Well, Charles, according to the Book of Mormon, of course, Mormon was a descendant of Nephi. Nephi, of course, was one of the loyal son of Lehi, or Lehi, who was the dad instructed by an angel, according to the book, in Jerusalem to flee with his family into the wilderness because Jerusalem was going to be sacked by the Babylonians. That's how it all starts. And yeah. So then eventually they build a boat, right, this compass, of course, it's this golden or brass, it was a brass sphere that appears outside their tent to guide the boat, the ship they built, of course, is a compass. And so now they get to this land called Bountiful, and, of course, that's our country today, the North American continent, the only land that was, to this day, considered to be bountiful, untouched, preserved, and loaded with resources. A true land of milk and honey, actually, just like God promised Moses' people he would deliver them to, interestingly.
You know, I didn't have time to go into the parallels with masonry, but, you know, masonry makes up their own little stories. You know, they get the Hiram Abiff thing, and they just come out with this elaborate story, none of which is in the Bible or in any other historical document.
But Charles, there's something to all that, okay? Masonry, when you understand its history, why it started, how it started, you understand. It's all about the Lord. You see, why doesn't the four Gospels have everything the Lord said? Why isn't it all in there? Because it's too powerful. Number one, we won't be controlled once we have access to everything he taught us as individuals.
So I take it you're a Mormon?
No, I'm not a Mormon at all. In fact, when Mormons stop by or Jehovah's to preach to me, they always want to come back and talk to me because I enlighten them and expand on their limited understanding because of their limited schooling that they've been exposed to by what I'll call just mere mortals that don't really know much when it comes to this topic.
I got to go to Pilgrim here in New York, another caller, but did you... You know,
yeah,
I mean,
Charles,
you
let me just,
breathe
so,
it.
So, now, interestingly, you know, in the Smithsonian, they have under wraps Christian relics found in this country that are going back at least 1,000 years ago.
Well, I agree with that. I don't see that as proof of the Book of Mormon, though.
So that's interesting, Charles, isn't it? Now, also, bear in mind that at the end of the Book of Mormon, it's all about the Lord appearing to this lost tribe, and that's who they are, by the way.
Let me just say this. I don't see that as an indication the Lord himself was here. Early Christian missionaries,
I'm just referring to the book now, Charles, because let me just get to this point and I'll let you go. I don't want to tie you up.
The Norse and the Celts talk about how they came here. Early Christian missionaries in the early centuries, and they left traces of themselves. That's all that is. It's nothing.
Well, the artifact. Well, now hold on. See now, Charles.
Look, maybe call it another show because I got to let you go because we only got like a minute or two, and I want to get to this last caller. But appreciate it, Mike.
Charles, I just want to make an important point, please.
All right, real quick.
Okay, so now the Native Americans, they always had a belief in this great white brother who's coming in the future. Where did that come from? Number two, these Christian relics are over a thousand years old.
Pilgrim in New York, sorry, we couldn't get to you. Didn't have enough time. Or actually, it's not New York. I think it's Nevada. Sorry about that. But call in maybe another show. We can get you then. All right, guys, that's all the time we got for today. We'll see you tomorrow. I got the Irish leader of the Irish branch, I should say, of... what's the name of the group? Quick. Well, anyway, We Are Changed. That's it. Tune in tomorrow and we'll have him on. We'll see you then.
Days grow shorter and the nights are getting long. Feels like we're running out of time.
Since 19. 19-